And it's Acts chapter 2, verses 22 to 32. And this is Peter talking to the crowd. Men of Israel, listen to this. Jesus of Nazareth was a man accredited by God to you by miracles, wonders, and signs, which God did among you through him, as you yourselves know. This man was handed over to you by God's set purpose and foreknowledge, and you, with the help of wicked men, put him to death by nailing him to the cross. But God raised him from the dead, freeing him from the agony of death, because it was impossible for death to keep its hold on him. David said about him, I saw the Lord always before me. Because he is at my right hand, I will not be shaken. Therefore my heart is glad and my tongue rejoices. My body also will live in hope, because you will not abandon me to the grave, nor will you let your Holy One see decay. You have made known to me the paths of life. You will fill me with joy in your presence. Brothers, I can tell you confidently that the patriarch David died and was buried, and his tomb is here to this day. But he was a prophet and knew that God had promised him on oath that he would place one of his descendants on his throne. Seeing what was ahead, he spoke of the resurrection of the Christ, that he was not abandoned to the grave, nor did his body see decay. But God has raised this Jesus to life, and we are all witnesses of the facts. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
Oh, Heavenly Father, we love John and we love hearing from John, but we don't want to meet with John this morning. We want to meet with you, Lord. And so I pray that as John speaks, by your Holy Spirit, you would anoint his words, that we would meet with you, Jesus, the Lord of life, this morning. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.
Amen.
Thanks, John.
Isos Christou, Iostou, Soter. You know what that means? You don't. A fish. The Greek word for fish, ichthus. Now, we see a cross there, but initially the Christians, they had for the symbol of the faith a fish. And in Greek, the letters, ichthus, Jesus Christ, God's Son, Savior. So he's to summarize about Jesus. Now, in Peter's first sermon, he emphasizes two important things which are at the heart of the Christian message, the cross and the resurrection of Jesus. Now, you might think, why do we have a cross there? Have you ever seen a lady with a pendant on her neck with a guillotine? The cross is as bad as a guillotine. I mean, on the cross, people were tortured and killed. It was a sign, the signal of, you know, death. Now, the Catholics like to have somebody on the cross, emphasizing the death. The Protestants say, no, no, there's an empty cross. Jesus has been raised. Peter, in his first sermon, emphasizes four things. First of all, Jesus is special. Well, actually, no, I'm wrong there. Not special. And he died on a cross. But he was raised again. And actually, it was part of God's plan. Jesus was not a martyr. There are many people who think about Jesus as a great teacher, a great person, and very special. No, Jesus was unique. How unique? Paul, in the letter to the Philippians, emphasizes how unique. He says, being in the form of God, took on the form of a servant. Now, I could show you a picture. If you go on my phone and have a look, you'll see. It's a picture. A very beautiful lady. It's my granddaughter, Caris. But actually, it isn't her. You see, there are two Greek words for form. You can have a photograph which shows you the sort of person, You can have even Madame Tussauds, you go there and there's a statue. But that's not the person. It looks like the person. Schema is the word, looks like. Morphe is much more important. Morphe indicates the essential part of the person. I have the morphe of a man. Since birth, I had the morphe of a man. But now I have the schema of an older man. Do you know, there was a time I had black hair, lots of hair. I could go out in the sun. I didn't feel the sun. Now I've got to put a hat on because you may know that I've got a little bald at the top. I'm getting older. I still have this morphe of a man. But the schema, I look like different. Jesus being in the form of God, the essence of what God is. He had the very nature of God. Jesus wasn't special. He was actually unique. And that Jesus never ceased to be. Interesting to note, another of Paul's words used here, who being in the form of God, being. The word being is interested. Υπάρχειν is the Greek word. It actually is something which continually is the same and doesn't change. Who being, he was in the form, he never ceased to be that. But he became man. A different word is used. Morphe, essence of God, he never ceased to be. But he became man. The Son of God became a real human being. He came into the world he had created. The birth was extraordinary and ordinary. Extraordinary because he was conceived by the Holy Spirit. Ordinary, he was born of the Virgin Mary. Again, Paul says, though he was God, he did not think equality with God as something to cling on to. Instead, he gave up his divine privileges. He took on a humble position of a slave, was born as a human being, and he appeared in human form. The baby, the young man, the great teacher, the crucified, the real man, he was God the Son. Are you baffled by the Trinity? Join the company. It is beyond our understanding. It's stated. Why is it not explained? It's become before. It's beyond our human understanding, as it were. You got a television at home? Do you know how a television works? No. I studied electrical engineering. I've got a fair idea, but I find it incredible that somebody thousands of miles away, and here I am, I can see them. Even on my photograph, on my phone, I can talk to somebody, and there they are face to face. In the television, they tell you how to work it, not how it works, how you can enjoy it. I was flying around East Asia years ago with a friend, a Swiss friend, and every time we came to land, I noticed the engines roared. I thought, just a minute, we're landing. Why are the engines coming alive? We should be, the engine slowing down. Or it wasn't this. Being an engineer, I was interested. Of course, I discovered it's the thrusts. The plane wants to slow down, so the engines come up. You're slowing down. The engines come more powerfully. There are things, sometimes we don't understand. Jesus, the God-man, incomprehensible, strange, something that would not be expected. And so when you ask the question, why? If my doorbell rang and the postman was there, I wouldn't be surprised. Or there's a parcel. If the doorbell rang and I opened the door and I saw there King Charles, I think, just a minute, what's this all about? I mean, I'd welcome him in, I'd give him a cup of coffee, best coffee. Why? And the Apostle Paul tells us why. And the first thing we discover, this was an act of selflessness and voluntary. Jesus didn't die the death of a martyr. He wasn't put to death because things went wrong. His death was voluntary. He came to die. Why? And Paul explains it. Being in the form of God, he came. The man, God the Son, took on the form of a man. Why did he do it? There are two interesting words we find as Paul explains it. Obedience and death. Obedience indicates a plan. This was part of God's plan. God doesn't have a second plan or a B plan or whatever it is. God's plan from eternity was to Jesus to come to deal with the problem of our sinful nature. I don't know if you caught the virus. Anybody here caught the virus? Yeah, I've got good news for you. Only good people get it. Hasn't touched me yet. And we've got an antidote. Jesus came to deal with the problem of our sinful nature. Obedient. There was a plan. And death. That was what it cost for you and me to be forgiven. I was caught speeding. I mean, I shouldn't have been caught. There was no reason why I shouldn't be speeding there, but I was. Anyway, I was offered to pay a fine. Fortunately, no problem. I just paid the fine. I was annoyed. They actually put three points on my license and didn't even tell me about it. But anyway, that was easy. I could pay it, no trouble. But you know, sometimes it's beyond our ability to pay. The consequence of our sinful nature was eternal separation from God. Jesus came and paid the penalty that you and I might have forgiveness. Becca led us into forgiveness. We are constantly reminded, even though we do things wrong, we can confess such and be forgiven. Why? Because Jesus dealt with the problem of our sin. Interesting, in the Creed, we read about the birth of Jesus, the death of Jesus. We don't read anything about the teaching of Jesus, the miracles of Jesus, the wonderful example of Jesus. Why? Are they not important? Yes. But in the Creed, it summarized the essence of our faith. He was crucified and raised again. All the rest was indicative to confirm he was not just special, but unique. He came not to teach or to heal. He did that. He came to die so that you and I can have eternity with God. In John, he says, John's Gospel, as the Father knows me, even so I know the Father. I laid down my life for the sheep. I laid down my life. He did it voluntarily. Therefore, my Father loves me because I laid down my life that I may take it up again. No one takes it from me. I lay down of myself. I have part to lay down. I have part to take it up again. Jesus, his death was voluntary. His death was not the death of a martyr. Of course, Jesus did not remain dead, did he? The essence of our faith and Peter's sermon is he was raised from the dead. The Christian message, both the death of Christ and the resurrection of Christ. The resurrection demonstrates that his death dealt with the problem. The antidote works. We can be secure. But you know what? It doesn't matter how effective the antidote is. If you and I don't take it, it will do us no good. I took my wife to get the vaccination, the jab, once again. Why? Somebody has taken the trouble to produce this jab to prevent us from getting both flu and COVID. But if I didn't take the trouble to take the vaccination, I'm not secure. I've got to do something about it. And so Peter's sermon emphasizes what Jesus did and what we have to do. Respond, believe, trust. He rose again to confirm his victory, to emphasize, I have got the antivirus. It does work. In Corinthians, he says, Christ indeed has been raised from the dead, the first fruits of those who have fallen asleep. To encourage us, we don't have to fear death. Death has been defeated. The sting of death has been taken out. Because Christ has risen, we have a future. A close friend of ours passed away a few weeks ago. She died? No. Passed away? No. And has gone to be with the Lord. She's reached her destination. We don't fear death. Death is the gateway to life. Why? Because of Jesus. Many nations speak of the great liberators. The Russians speak of Peter the Great. He did so much for the country. But he's gone. Many people speak of great people in the past history. They've all gone. The message we have, Jesus is alive. He is risen. And John in his first letter says, that which we have seen from the beginning, which we have heard, which we have seen with our eyes, which we have both looked at, our hands have touched, this we proclaim concerning the word of life. The life appeared. We have seen it and testified to it, which was from the Father and has appeared to us. We proclaim to you what we have seen and heard, that you also might have fellowship with us, and our fellowship is with the Father and with his Son, Jesus Christ. We write this to make your joy complete. So Peter says, I want you to remember this. Jesus died, but actually it wasn't an accident. It wasn't because the Jews didn't like him. It was part of God's plan, but just dead. He is alive. And what's more, as we read further on, he's actually interceding on our behalf. God, Jesus Christ, is actually working on our behalf now at the right hand of the Father. Jesus, uniquely the Son of God, came into the world and died for you and me. Little wonder we call it the gospel. Gospel means good news. But the issue is this. What about you? What does Jesus mean to you? A great teacher? A good man? A good example? A wonderful person? A hero? Or is he my Savior? There was a leader, one of the African countries, Tanganyika, Tanzania it's called now. I grew up there as a youngster. He didn't believe in COVID. Oh, he said it's nothing. He caught it and died. A vaccination was available. He didn't believe in it. I'm not saying it's perfect. No, I'm not saying it's perfect. But Jesus is perfect. He died on the cross. And Peter in his sermon says, but he rose again. Why? Because you and I need his forgiveness. But what have you done about it? There's a lovely song. My Jesus, my Savior. Lord, there is none like you. I can say that. And I rejoice in that. And I find comfort in that. What about you? My Jesus, my Savior. He's done that for you. That whoever believes in him should not perish, but have eternal life. Something that Becca often emphasizes, the love of Christ. She wants everybody to experience the love of Christ. Yeah. God so loved the world, said the Apostle John, that he gave his only son. That's wonderful. That whoever believes in him, if we believe in him, trust in him, commit our lives to him, we should not perish. But we've got to do something. He's done it all. We've got to receive. What about you? I just hope and pray. Whatever your situation, any day and every day, you will say, my Jesus, my Savior. Let's pray. Father, it seems incredible, inconceivable, beyond our understanding that you should care enough for us. Open our minds to understand, our hearts to respond to your message of hope and glory. We thank you, we praise you. We ask this in the Savior's name. Amen.